Good morning, brother. Everybody, turn with me to the book of Mark. Just a couple announcements real fast. This Monday night at 6:30 p.m. at your homes, gather your family, and let's have a time of prayer. 6:30 every Monday night until you hear otherwise. Monday nights, 6:30, pray with your family. We have much to pray about, and it's not going to hurt you. It's going to help you. You'll never regret spending time with the Lord. So everybody, set your timer on your phone, set some sort of alarm for about 6:25 so you can gather the kiddos, do what you got to do to make sure that you spend time in prayer every Monday at 6:30 p.m. And I want to read to you guys real fast just a couple verses in Mark 6. And we're going to start at verse 45. Tonight, this morning, however you're catching this recording, we're going to be talking about another storm on the seas that the disciples had to go through. So Mark 6, starting at verse 45, immediately Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him to Bethsaida. While he dismissed the crowd, after leaving them, he went up on a mountainside to pray. Later that night, the boat was in the middle of the lake, and he was alone on the land. He saw the disciples straining at the oars because the wind was against them. Shortly before dawn, he went out to them, walking on the lake. He was about to pass by them, but when they saw him walking on the lake, they thought he was a ghost. They cried out because they all saw him and were terrified. Immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." Then he climbed into the boat with them and the wind died down. They were completely amazed. Let us pray. Father God, thank you so much for your will, Lord, to be done in all our lives, Lord. Let us have an attitude of thanksgiving and thankfulness, Lord, no matter where we're at. No matter what we're going through, Lord, let us be thankful to you. Let us give you praise during the middle of our storm. Let us get our eyes off of ourselves and let us focus on you, Father God. Thank you for your love and your grace and your mercy and your protection and your wonderful will being done. And we ask for your anointing in this service. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen. So guys, we're in Mark, and we're going to be in Mark chapter 6. We just read that little bit. Here we go again. Another storm. Another crazy, crazy situation. But I'm here to tell you guys, our God is good. So go ahead and give him some praise real fast. Get excited. Whatever you're going through, your God is in control. Whatever you're going through, your God is in control. If you happen to be a Christian. If you're not a Christian, you need to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. You need to do that today. You need to do that before the sun sets. You need to do it before you go to bed tonight. If you have not already made that commitment, ask Jesus Christ to be the Lord of your life. You will never, ever regret it. So real fast, I want to read one verse. John 6 and verse 15. Now what we got going on here is this particular story about this storm and the disciples being in this boat. You will find it in three of the Gospels. You will not find it in Luke, but you will see it in Matthew, Mark, and John. So we're going to do a little bit of jumping around just to help paint the picture a little bit of what's going on here. Jesus had just fed the 5,000. He just has fed a bunch of people. He's done a bunch of miracles. These crowds are massive and huge. Now, as Jesus does this miracle where he feeds all of these people, and it's actually more than 5,000, that was just the men that were numbered up to 5,000. They actually say it's probably closer to 15,000, but we don't know. But anyways, it was a huge, huge miracle. Now, what had happened here is this humongous crowd that we know was at least 5,000 people just got excited. They just had this great meal. They just saw all this miracles happen, heard this great teaching, and so they decide, hey, you know what? This right here, this is our Messiah. This is our King. This is what we need. Let's take Jesus and let's march on Jerusalem. Let's start a revolt. Let's start a rebellion. Let's kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. They're getting a little ahead of themselves. They're getting excited. They want to cause a revolt. Now, let me read that verse. John 6 and verse 15. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force. You know, you guys ever realize this? Nothing gets by Jesus. Nothing gets by the Lord, okay? Nothing surprises him. He knew exactly what these guys were trying to do. Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountain by himself. So Jesus is like, nope, I don't want anything to do with this rebellion. I don't want anything to do with it. See, sometimes we got to understand that your plans might be a little different than God's plans. Let that sink in real fast. Your plan may be a little different than God's plan, but let's understand this. Your God knows what's best for you. Sometimes we don't like to hear that because we think we know what's best. Sometimes he'll say no, and he's saying no for now. Like, they want to make him king now, and he's saying it's not the time for that. And we know that he will sit on a throne, but see, Jesus was wanting to be obedient to the Father, and Jesus knew that he was there at this time to set up his kingdom in our hearts. It was a spiritual thing that he was doing, and these people, these followers, got excited. They wanted an earthly thing, and they wanted it now. And we want that. We're Americans, man. We want it our way right away, man. We want it, and we think we know what's best. Okay? Sometimes we do, sometimes we don't. But let's understand this, that we belong to the Most High God. We're Christians. We are his children. And he knows what's best for us. Okay? Sometimes we think that we know better. Let's just understand, we don't always know what's better. But he does. His ways are high above our ways. Amen? So here's the deal. All these guys that were just blessed by Jesus, they're like, let's grab him, man. Let's march on Jerusalem. Let's make him the king. And Jesus slips out. He's like, nope. It's not about your will, beloved. It's about God's will. And quite frankly, it's about aligning your will up with God's will. Can I get a witness? And if you look at Mark 6 and verse 45, I understand if you're watching at home, you don't know exactly where we're going. We're just kind of bouncing around this morning. So if you just want to stay in the book of Mark, that's fine. We're going to be kind of hip-hopping all over the place this morning. But Mark 6 and verse 45, Jesus says this to his disciples. Immediately, he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side. Okay, he's like, hey, disciples, get in the boat. You guys start going to the other side. I'm dismissing class, and I got something else I got to do. Okay, he didn't want his disciples getting involved in any of this ruckus. Because how many of you guys know this morning, the disciples were really wanting this to happen too. The disciples were really wanting Jesus to start a revolt and kick the Romans out of Jerusalem. Everybody was missing the point. Everybody was getting ahead of themselves. Okay, let God be true and every man a liar. We have to align our will with God's will. Can I get a witness this morning? Amen. Praise the Lord. Immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side to Bethsaida while he dismissed the crowd. He was like, guys, boys, get out of here. I don't want you getting involved in none of this mess. I don't want you getting the wrong idea. So he got rid of them. Now Jesus dismisses everybody, and he goes off by himself for a while. Okay, now real fast, I'm going to talk about this. What these guys wanted to do was make Jesus king. They wanted to cause this big revolt. Okay, and you know, on the surface, that sounds like a great idea. Hey, he had the power. He had the power. He could do it. Hey, let's make him king, man. But see, God had a different plan. Amen. We got to be obedient to God. And see, the big thing is we serve a big God, and he's a big picture God. So he doesn't always do the things we think he needs to do, especially when we think it needs to be done. But God gives us some awesome things that we can hold on to while we're trying to figure out what's going on. And sometimes we don't even have to figure out what's going on. Sometimes it might not be possible for us to figure out what's going on. We serve a big, big God. But God lets us in on a couple things that'll really give you peace. So Isaiah 55 and verse 9, let's put this in perspective a little bit. Okay. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, true statement, the heavens are way up there and we're way down here. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Okay. We can say it like this. We don't always understand what God does, but we can understand he's going to do what's best. He's going to do what's best for his people. Okay? We want something fixed right away. And sometimes God just wants to say, hey, hold on. Trust in me, because there's more going on than what you think. Trust in me. Be obedient to me and don't get ahead of me. Does that make sense this morning? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. So we can't always figure out the things that God's doing, but we can rest in the fact that he knows what he's doing. Matter of fact, Psalm 103 and verse 11, this is a really cool one right here, and this will help us out a lot. Okay, so check this out. Here we go again. We know God's ways are high above our ways. We don't always get it. We don't always understand it. But we can understand this right here. Psalm 103 and verse 11. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, there we go again, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. Now that's a very important verse. And I really want that to sink into everybody. So let me read it again, and I want you to just listen to what I'm saying. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. So here's the heavens way up here. We're down here on earth, and God's ways are high above our ways. We can't always figure out the things that he does. But what about this? His love for us is just as big. His love is just as high as the heavens are from the earth. His love for me and for you. So yeah. I don't always get the things I want, and I especially don't get them when I think I need them. You know, things don't always have to work out the way I want them to work out. But God says, you don't always understand it, but you can understand this. I love you so much. I love you more than you could imagine. Okay, for as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love, his faithful love. He's not going anywhere. Let that sink in this morning and in this crazy world where we want our problems to end just like that. Just like these people, you know, that just got the feeding of the 5,000. They're like, okay, we got this guy. We got Jesus. Let's march on Jerusalem. Let's kick the Romans out. They wanted closure to their problems right then and there. And they were going through some hard times. They were under Roman occupation. They were taxed heavily. The Romans could do anything they wanted to them. They were in a horrible, miserable situation. And God says, just hold on. You don't have to understand everything. Just trust in me and trust in the fact that I love you. And I'm not going to do something to harm you. I'm here to love you. And you might go through some hard times, but it is for your growth and it is for a big reason. Can you give them some praise? I like this, his steadfast love. People fall in and out of love all the time. All the time. You see people together, like, oh, I thought they'd be together forever. No, we fell out of love. This happened. Okay, God says, that ain't me. And sometimes we get that mixed up because we look at our earthly relationships. We look at our relationship with our earthly father. And maybe you had a great father, maybe not so great. Okay, and God says, don't get that guy mixed up with me. Okay, even if you had a swell dad, the best dad on the planet, he cannot compare to the Most High God. No, you don't always get things when you want it. You don't get them how you want it all the time. Okay? And you don't have to understand any of it, but you need to understand this. You are loved by God, and that is a steadfast love. He's not picking on you. His steadfast love toward those who fear him, those that belong to him, those that have reverence for him, he loves you with an undying love. Give him some praise, and let's go to the next slide, Clyde. Mark 6 and verse 46, Jesus dismissed the disciples. Go to the other side, man. Get out of here. I don't want you getting involved in all this stuff. I don't want you getting a big head. I don't want you to think that we're revolutionaries. We're starting a war revolt. We ain't doing that. And Jesus leaves the crowd. He goes off by himself. He goes to a mountaintop. And after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Okay. There is something we need to take home from that right there. Okay, Jesus is God. Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus is our forever example to follow. And Jesus, just going through all this ministry and going through all this craziness, he goes off by himself to spend some time with the Father. Okay, we need to follow that example. No matter what you're going through, you need to spend time with the Lord. Can I back that up with Scripture? All day long. 1 Thessalonians verse 5 and 17. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. That's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be praying all the time. Well, Preacher Paul, that might work for you because you're a preacher and you live in your little preacher world with your little preacher bubble and you hang out with your little preacher people and all that and you can just pray, pray, pray. Okay. Well, you might be onto something there. Yeah, my job probably is quite a bit different than yours. But see, God wouldn't ask us to do something if we could not do it. Okay, God will always make a way. So here's the sentiment behind that. No, you can probably not spend 8 hours on your knees praying. I get that. I understand that. I don't know a lot of people that could do that. But what I'm saying and what the Bible is saying is we need to have an attitude of constant communication with the Father. We need to spend time in prayer. When you're driving around, you can pray. When you're doing your business, whatever you're doing, God says, I want to be part of it. Spend time with me. And we see Jesus Christ, you know, after this huge, massive miracle and service, goes and gets away. He's not with the disciples. He has to spend time with the Father because he knows how important that communion, that communication with the Father is. That is something that we all need to follow. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 17, pray without ceasing. Okay, Philippians 4 and verse 6. We could do a bunch of verses. A bunch of verses. You know what? We can do a bunch of verses about prayer. Check this out. Do not be anxious about anything. Wow. Did you just hear what God just told us? Christian folks, God knows what you're going through, man. God knows what you're going through. God knows what you've been through. God knows what's right around the corner for you. Because here's the disciples again. They don't have a clue, man. They just got in that boat because the master told them to. And they're heading off. And there's a big, 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 all God's people said, big storm waiting for them right around the corner. Thank you, Jesus. Do not be anxious about anything. What? Hold the phone. You don't know what I'm going through. No, I don't. But God does. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything. So here's my burden. Here's what's freaking me out. Here's what's messing up my days. Take that and give it to the Lord. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Whatever's messing you up, give it to God. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So God says, my people need to be a praying people. My people need to be spending time with me. As a matter of fact, God says, pray without ceasing. Okay? That's what we're supposed to do. We see Jesus doing it. But how many of you guys know, have you ever stopped to think that, you know what? Jesus climbed up on that mountain and he just sent his disciples off in that boat. And he knows that storm's coming. You know, Jesus never lost track of those guys, man. It says that he's watching these guys. Okay? Jesus knew they were about to be in a storm. You think maybe Jesus was praying for these guys? You think Jesus was praying for his disciples? Let me ask you this. Do you think Jesus prays for us? Because we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to spend time. We're supposed to pray without ceasing. Constantly spend time before the Lord. Unloading our burdens and hanging out with him. Telling him how we feel. You know, it doesn't have to be some fancy words. You know, I'm just hanging out with God. I'm going to tell him how I feel. And I'm going to give him praise and glory no matter what I'm going through. Getting my eyes off of myself and focusing on him. But how many of you guys know Jesus was praying for those disciples? And Jesus prays for us. Think about that. Let that sink in. Because that's a mind-blowing, game-changing thing right there. Oh, I'm going through a hard time. You're not going through it alone. Yeah, Paul, you always say God is with us. Yeah, God is with us. And he's actively involved in your situation. So we need to be excited. Yeah, I don't want to go through this. But God's allowed me to go through this. And it's for a reason. Amen. Can I get a witness? Okay, so does Jesus pray for us? Don't turn, but you guys that are actually here helping me record this service, if you look on your monitors, Luke 22 in verse 31, we have a little situation here that is pretty awesome because Simon Peter's talking to Jesus and Jesus is like, hey, Simon, hey, Pete, I want to tell you something here. Okay, Satan, desires to sift you like wheat, bro. Satan wants to tear you apart, Peter. Oh, man. Jesus, thank you so much for telling me about that. You're going to stop it, right? You're going to make sure that Satan doesn't mess with me, right? Well, check out this verse. Because that's what we would think. Like, okay, yeah. Okay, so if you know something crazy is about to happen to me, and you're God, and you love me, then you're going to put up your Jesus force field so nothing bad gets near me. Not necessarily. Because it's in the furnace of affliction, it's through these hard times that we don't like, where God matures us and grows us up. So this is what he says to Peter, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan demanded to have you, that he might sift you like wheat. So see, Satan can't do everything he wants to do, okay? God won't let him do that. Okay, and Satan can't do anything that God doesn't sign off on. That's just how it works. Okay, so Jesus is like, hey, Satan is really wanting to get you, brother. He wants to sift you like wheat. He wants to destroy you. Okay, now check this out. But I have prayed for you. Who prayed for who? Jesus was praying for his disciple. Jesus was praying for Simon Peter. I'm not praying that you don't go through this trial, because this trial, this scary thing, this is a needful thing for your relationship, for your faith growing and trusting in me. And I need you, Pete. I need you, man, because I got to get you, Pete, to this place where you're not so impulsive, where you're trusting in me, okay, so you can mature, so I can use you, because I want to use you to be a blessing to other people. In other words, God wants his people, his church folk, his Christian folks, to start to mature a little bit so we can be a blessing and an encouragement and a light to a lost and dying world. Can I get a witness? But I, verse 32, but I have prayed for you that your faith may not fail. He didn't say, hey, Satan wants to get at you, but I'm not going to let him mess with you, Pete. No, he's like, I'm praying that your faith don't fail. I'm praying that you keep trusting in me. Okay. And when you have turned again, okay. So he lets Peter in on a secret. You're going to go through a hard time. I'm praying for you that you get through this, and you're gonna go through a little crisis in your faith walk. You're going to go through a little crisis, and you're going to turn away from me. You're going to deny me. Okay, but after that, when you come back to me, I got a job for you to do. So God knows all this stuff about what you're going through, and guess what? Jesus Christ was praying for Peter, and Jesus Christ prays for us right now. So what a wonderful thing. Yeah, we're not going through anything alone. That's super awesome. God, Jesus Christ is interceding for me, blows my mind, man. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Right there on your monitor, beloved. Okay, so we are to pray. We're to pray without ceasing. And the really, really cool thing that we see is that Jesus actually prays for us as well. Hebrews 7 and verse 25. Consequently, he is able, Jesus Christ, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost. Aren't you glad that our God can save to the uttermost? Aren't you glad that he doesn't save 50% of your rubbish? He can save and will save us to the uttermost. So we have a reason to rejoice yet again. Consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him. We have access to God the Father through Jesus Christ. We can communicate with God the Father anytime we want to, and God the Father wants to hang out with us, and we can pray to him anytime we want to because of what Jesus Christ did for us at the cross. We have access to God the Father. Now, having said that, Jesus has access to God the Father as well. As we know, he's right beside him. And guess what? This is what happens. Jesus Christ is interceding for us right now as we speak. Okay, let that sink in. Let it sink in what I just said. If you're going through a difficult situation, if you're going through a hard time, if you feel all alone, not only is God with you, but Jesus Christ is your advocate. Jesus Christ is interceding for you, just like he did for Peter. It's like, Peter, you're going to go through some mess. You're going to go through some craziness, okay? And it's going to get rough, but I'm praying for you. I got your back. You will get through this. You will get through this. And when you come through it, I want you to encourage your brothers. I got something for you to do. So God's telling us, hey, hold on. Don't give in to fear. Don't think God's messing with you. Don't think he doesn't care about you. He loves you with an undying love. No, you don't understand everything, but trust in the fact that he loves you and he knows what he's doing and he's praying for us. Wow. Give him some praise, man. Thank you, Jesus. So we're to pray without ceasing. That's what Jesus Christ tells us to do. And we see Jesus praying for the disciples who are about to go through a storm. They don't even know they're heading into a storm, but Jesus knows what's about to happen to them. Hebrews 7 and verse 25, consequently, he is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, drawing near to God through Jesus Christ. Listen up. Since he always lives, is Jesus Christ alive or dead? He's alive. He's alive. He was dead, But he is alive, and he will never die again. And that's our big brother. That's our God. That is the second man of the Trinity. That is the creator of the universe who is right beside God the Father. And he is talking about us. He is praying. He is our advocate. Since he always lives to make intercession for them, he's interceding for us. Sandy, God's intercede. Jesus Christ is interceding for us. What an amazing thing. You feel like you're all alone going through this craziness that nobody understands. Nobody understands what you're going through. Hey, maybe they do, maybe they don't. But God does. Jesus Christ does. Jesus Christ knows exactly how you feel. He was tempted in every single way that we were. He knows what it feels like. He knows what it feels like to go through what you're going through. And he's praying for you right now. What an amazing, wonderful thing. We're blessed. Go to the next slide. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, so Mark 6 and verse 47. So far, we got the disciples off on a boat going across the Sea of Galilee, this big, massive lake. Jesus is up on a mountain praying for them. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. Hey, sometimes we feel like we're all alone. Sometimes we feel like Jesus doesn't care what I'm going through, but he totally does. Now check this out. Are they alone or are they not? Check it out. Now, yes, he is not physically in that boat with them. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land. Look at verse 48. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. So here they are. Disciples are rowing against the wind, man. And they're in this crazy storm again. They're in a whole nother storm, a whole horrible situation. They're not getting anywhere. It's just super, super scary, man. Okay, but they're not alone. Well, Jesus ain't in the boat. Last time you were talking about Jesus being in the boat. Okay, check it out, man. And he saw that they were making headway painfully. Okay, Jesus was watching them. Whatever you're going through, you're not alone. Jesus is praying for you. Man, that's just so cool, man. That's super awesome. And he's got his eyes on you. He's watching you. You're not alone. He's actively involved. Give him some praise. My goodness. And when evening came, the boat was out on the sea, and he was alone on the land, and he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them. Okay, and this is how Matthew 14:24 says it. Look it down there right there on the monitor, friends, beloved. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. So here these guys are again, crazy storm, crazy scary situation, and they're giving it, listen, they're giving it everything they have, but they're not going anywhere. Does that make sense to anybody this morning? You ever felt like you're giving it everything you have and you haven't gotten anywhere in life? You just feel like you're fighting and giving everything, and you're not even making any ground. Matter of fact, maybe you're going a little backwards. God's watching you. God's praying for you. Jesus is praying for you. And he saw. He's watching what's going on in your life. And he saw that they were making headway painfully. That's a nice way of saying they were giving it everything they got, and they weren't really getting anywhere because they were in this horrible storm. Look over here, Psalm 34 and verse 14, guys. Psalm 34 and verse 14. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous. Just like Jesus was on that mountaintop, just like Jesus was on that mountaintop and he could see his people, he could see his disciples going through that storm, he had his eyes on them. Okay, just like that, God has got his eyes on his people. In the seas, the masses of humanity, God sees his people and he sees what they're going through. And Jesus Christ is interceding for you. And it's just amazing. Psalm 34 and verse 14. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears toward their cry. Just like those disciples, they might have felt all alone, but Jesus Christ had his eyes on them. Jesus Christ was watching them, and Jesus Christ knew they had more up ahead. Okay, there might be more crazy times for you right around the corner, but Jesus Christ is watching you. Amen. And he's attentive to your cry. So make sure you're crying out to him. Make sure you're spending time in prayer. You can't do it alone, so stop pretending you can. Can I get a witness? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Now, this is really, really cool. Okay, I got to speed up here. Okay, so they weren't getting anywhere. He came to them. Oh, this is so cool. Okay, I'm going to start at verse 48 again. And he saw that they were making headway painfully, for the wind was against them, and about the fourth watch of the night. Now, keep in mind, these guys left at like in the evening. They left at the evening time after Jesus fed everybody. He was like, disciples, go get out of here. It's still daylight. Now, it is in the middle of the fourth watch. So they're in this storm. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. So somewhere during that time, they haven't gotten anywhere. They're just stuck in the middle of this ocean, just being tossed back and forth. Pretty discouraging, right? Fighting the waves over and over again, not getting anywhere. Okay. Tell the truth, shame the devil. And about the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. Is Jesus involved in what you're going through? Jesus is right there with you guys. Jesus is right there with us. We're never alone. And see, this is really, really cool. This is just, to me, it's really exciting. Okay, Jesus is walking on the water. Okay, and check this part out. He came to them walking on the sea. He meant to pass by them. What in the world does that mean? He meant to pass by them. Jesus was walking by on the water. Jesus was walking to the other side of the lake. He was walking to the other side of the Sea of Galilee because that's where he told the disciples to go. So here's the deal. Okay, sometimes we want to do it all on our own. Sometimes we do want to do it all on our own, but we need to understand we cannot do it all on our own. So Jesus makes himself available for his people. Okay? Jesus is right there, ready and willing to be a present help in our time of trouble. But if you don't want him, if you think you want to do it on your own, okay, then he's just going to keep walking by. Does that make sense? He's going to keep walking by. But if you want his help, he's ready for it. Because look what he said. Here's Jesus walking on the water. The disciples are freaking out, man, because of the waves, and they're not getting anywhere in this horrible storm. And here's Jesus. He's just walking to the other side. He's going to where he's supposed to meet them. Okay, so if they want his help, all they got to do is cry out to him. Same for me and you, okay? You want to try and do it on your own? Go ahead, okay? It's not going to work out the way you need it to work out. Can I get a witness? I mean, Jesus says, cast your cares upon me. Cry out to me. I want to be there for you. Jesus says in James, if you need wisdom, ask me. I want to help you out here. Okay? And look at Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. If you're tired of having the same stupid consequences to the same stupid actions and you're going through this whole cycle of sin, repent, and not getting anywhere, Jesus says, hey, just come to me, man. Come to me. Let me at it. Let's do this together, okay? Let's just start brand new. Just give me a chance. Come to me if you're tired of trying to do it on your own, and I'll give you peace. I'll give you rest, and we'll get through this. Because, yes, we're going to go through some hard times. And I need you to go through these hard times because there's a reason for it. Amen. So anyways, Jesus was going to walk right on by them, man. It's like, oh, if they want me, I'm here. You know, it's just super, super cool, man. He's there if we want him. You can try and do it on your own if you want to. It's not going to work out. Can I get a witness? I mean, some of us, me included, we've went around the same mountain over and over and over again where God's trying to teach us a lesson. And we refuse to learn what God's trying to teach us. And the whole time, Jesus is like, hey, I'm right here, man. If you want to do this according to my word, if you want to do this with me, come on, let's do this. Otherwise, I'll meet you on the other side of the lake. When and if you get there, cuz. But I got stuff to do. Whoop-de-doo. All God's people said, whoop-de-doo. Mark 6 and verse 49. Yeah, cool. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. Here's the whole deal so far. They want to make Jesus the king. Jesus runs up to a mountain and spends time in prayer. He's not getting involved in any of that nonsense. He sends his disciples across the Sea of Galilee. You guys get out of here. I'll meet you on the other side. I'll meet up with you later. Jesus is praying. Huge storm comes up. The disciples are freaking out. They're getting scared. Jesus is walking right on by them, and he's ready to help if they want it. But when they see him, they see him like, oh, man, this is getting, Peter, look, Judas, look, it's getting worse. It's getting worser the whole time. I thought we were going to drown in the middle of the ocean, but now there's goblins coming at me. There's ghosts out here. It's getting worse all the time. You ever felt like that? You ever felt like your problem just gets worse and worse and worse, and you're just rowing and rowing your boat gently down the stream. You're rowing and rowing your boat, and you're not getting anywhere. And then all of a sudden, you're so tired and weary from fighting the same battle over and over again. And then it's getting worse. Now there's goblins and ghouls coming at you. That's how the disciples felt about it. Hey, we're not just going to drown in the middle of the ocean and Jesus ain't with us, but now there's ghosts coming at us. All right, tell the truth, shame the devil. But when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out. They were like, "Ah!" All God's people went, "Ah! Ah!" More guttural, like, okay. So they're really freaking out. And it was a ghost, so they cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. There was not one calm, cool, collective cat on the boat. They were all freaking out, every single one of them. Okay. Here it is. This is good. I'm reeling it back in. I know I lost my way a bit there. For they all saw him and were terrified, but immediately he spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Even if your storm's getting worse, take heart. Trust in God. He's praying for you. He's interceding for you. What an awesome thing. Isn't that cool? That is super cool, man. That's mind-blowing. Okay, verse 51. And he got into the boat with them. So now they're cool. They're like, okay, there's a goblin. Hey, James, there's a goblin. Row the boat, Peter. No, there's a goblin. Okay, so then they realize it's Jesus. Jesus says, "Hey, it's me." They let him in the boat. Okay. And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astonished. Now, I love that part. I love that part, Brother Josh, because they let Jesus in the boat, and boom, glassy sea, smooth sailing all over again. Now, we love it when our problems end just like that. We absolutely love it. But there's no guarantee our problems are going to end just like that. A lot of them do. A lot of them, man, you wake up in the morning and your life is just going crazy. And by the afternoon, just like a good TV show, everything's perfect again. But we don't always have those, man. You know, sometimes we go through trials that last for a very long time. But we repeat step number one. Don't try and do it on your own. Keep trusting in Jesus. Keep giving your burdens to him. Can I get a witness? And he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astonished. Now, I want to read what John says in his gospel about this. So, and we're going to close with this. But John 6 and verse 21, then they were glad to take him in. Once they realized he wasn't a monster, like, "Yes, Jesus, come on in the boat." You know? Okay, anyways, moving forward. Then they were glad to take him in into the boat. Now check this out. And immediately, this is good. This is really, really good. And immediately the boat was at the land to which they were going. Wow, that's super cool. Listen, let's go back a little bit in our story. I know you guys are getting tired out there. But check this out. They were rowing all night for hours and hours and hours. They left after dinner. And they were rowing nonstop, and they were nowhere near their destination. They were in the middle of this storm, in the middle of this sea. Okay, but what happened? When Jesus got in the boat, the time they had lost had been restored. They made up all that time. Boom! They were automatically at the other side of the land. They were where they needed to be. The point I'm trying to make, the beautiful point that I see right here is, man, sometimes we feel like we're not getting anywhere in life. Sometimes we look and we say, "Well, I had this chance, man, and I messed that up. Or I had this chance and it was taken away from me. And I've done this, this, and this, and this, and I'm still nowhere." Okay, first of all, it's not about you. And God's going to take all those experiences and use them for something awesome. That was all training for the place that God is leading you. Amen. Can I get a witness? That was all training. Look back on it. God had a reason for all of it. Okay, and if you feel like you've been stolen from, the time has been ripped out of your hands, you feel like time is short, well, God says definitely number your, you know, teach us to number our days. Realize that we only have a certain amount of time here to be about God's business. But what Satan has stolen from us, okay, when a thief is caught, he has to pay back seven times over. So here we go. These guys were out at the sea getting nowhere. Jesus gets in the boat. Boom, they're on the other side. I'm just saying, man, God will and God can make up the time. If you feel like you've just been serving the wrong master for your whole life, and you're like, it's too late to be a Christian. No, it's never too late. It's never too late, man. If you can hear me, if your heart's still beating, it's not too late. You need to accept Jesus Christ today. If you've been sowing your wild oats, man, if you've been backsliding, if you've been straddling the fence like we all do, right? Like the things we do all the time, God says, okay, let's just start right now, man. Just start right now, and we'll make up the time, man. God's got a lot for us to do. Amen? So let's not be discouraged, because guess what? Jesus Christ himself is interceding for us. Father God, thank you so much for blessing these folks. Lord, bless the congregation of Victory Life Church. Let us not be discouraged. Let us not be dismayed, but let us be excited about the wonderful things that you're doing in our hearts and in our homes and in our community. And let us be obedient to you. And let us be excited about the things ahead. Even though we don't know what's in store for us, you know what's in store for us. And you're standing in the gap for us. You're interceding for us to God the Father. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.